Welcome to the Corlin Economics Report, a weekly look at financial and political topics relating to asset-based investing. Guests on this program pay no fees to appear, and guests and hosts disclose any equity interest in companies profiled. Now, the Corlin Economics Report.
Welcome in. You are listening to the weekend edition of the KE Report. My name is Corey Fleck, and I am your host for the first hour. In the first two segments, I am spending it with a good friend, personally and of the show, Peter Buchvar. He is the chief investment advisor with Bleakley Advisory Group, also editor of the Book Report website, which I will include a link to, and a CNBC contributor. Peter, I want to start off by talking about what is on everybody's mind in terms of investment and even in terms of economic concerns. That is the Fed. We had this week a lot of Fed speakers come out. We had the Fed minutes. And more or less, there are two factions out there. One group that says, you know what, the Fed is simply paused right now, but there's still a good chance that we will see some rate hikes in 2019. And then there's this whole other group that's saying the Fed is paused, but look for them to be cutting rates. Look for another QE program sooner rather than later. Please, Peter, give us some of your level-headed comments on where you think the Fed stands right now.
Well, it's this movie that we continue to see over and over again, and seemingly every cycle, is that the Fed starts to raise interest rates, and markets are fine with it because they always say, well, Fed's raising rates, but it's okay because the economy's good, and they're doing it for good reason. And then they continue to raise until they reach a pressure point. And that pressure point is created when it starts to impact growth and it starts to hurt the markets. And then everyone screams, oh, the Fed has to stop because look what they're doing to my portfolio. And I think we've certainly reached that point. So here we are with the Fed funds rate at 2.25%, 2.5%. We just printed a December CPI number, core rate of 2.2%. So we're barely above positive on a real basis. And the Fed's balance sheet has shrunk by 10%, and everyone's screaming for it to stop. And while there are no question there's a legitimate economic slowdown going on around the world, particularly in Europe, particularly in China and other parts of Asia, that is now beginning to affect the U.S. market, the Fed is just in this unwinnable situation where they can barely get out of their policy without having an outsized impact. And it's an impossible spot they're in, but they placed themselves in the spot because they waited so long to remove this accommodation. And now they're sort of stock talking out of every side of their mouth, but also reflecting, still kowtowing to the markets. And if the stock market falls and credit markets tighten, all of a sudden they say, well, financial conditions are tightening, therefore I have to stop. But they continuously blame other reasons for that financial tightening rather than their own policy. So they continue to be in this negative feedback loop that they can't find themselves out of.
Yeah, that is very true. And you know what? I think a lot of people saw this coming in terms of market correction. But in terms of global weakness, Europe slowing down, China having issues, do you think it's fair to blame all of this simply on the Federal Reserve policy?
No, I mean, China is slowing irrespective of even the trade issues with the U.S. They're going through, obviously, a crackdown on excessive leverage and credit growth, even though they're trying to restart it in certain areas. Europe, well, their economy always is a slow grower, but particularly so now because they're very sensitive to economic activity in Asia, particularly Germany, where 40% of their economy is made up of exports, and they do a lot of business with the Chinese. Then you throw in the protests in France, which is leading to obviously a slowdown there, and then obviously Brexit, that's impacting UK business confidence and activity over there. So those are circumstances that were happening irrespective. But we know the ECB has ended the increase in their balance sheet. The Bank of Japan has cut their QE essentially in half. So you throw in these legitimate economic issues, and then with at the same time that monetary policy has been tightening, and it's a difficult situation.
Now, what about the whole concept of this balance sheet unwind? When we heard from Powell at the last press conference when the Fed hiked rates in December, he made it sound like that balance sheet unwind was on autopilot. But pretty quickly after, Powell and other Fed speakers have backtracked from that comment. Where do we stand now in your eyes?
Well, each speech seems to tell us different. Since October, Powell has gone from hawkish, and then he shifted to dovish, and then he went back to hawkish, and then dovish, and then just this past week, he talks about wanting to get the balance sheet, quote-unquote, substantially smaller. So rates are far away from neutral, and then they're just below neutral, with no rate change other than what was expected. The balance sheet is on autopilot, but then they'll be flexible, but then he wants it substantially smaller. So there's this communication breakdown because we have to understand that the Fed at this point is just winging it. People think that they're these omniscient people that just are all seeing, and they don't really know much more than we do. Granted, they have a lot of PhDs and they have a lot of business contacts, but we see what's going on as well. And this is monetary policy, play it by ear, and trying to figure it out as it goes.
Yeah, you just look at their models and their forecasts, and the Fed, even some of their comments have almost admitted that this is a whole different world, and their models and forecasts have been very off. What about some of the other central banks, the ECB or the Bank of Japan? They were all switching. It seemed like a little bit more hawkish, but they've backtracked, I think, even more than what the Fed has done in the last few months. Where do we stand globally with central banks?
Well, it's the ECB and the BOJ are 10 times worse than the Fed. I mean, Draghi and Kuroda will go down as two of the most dangerous people in the history of the financial and economic world with what they've done, all for their ridiculous goal of trying to raise the cost of living for everybody by 2% per annum. So here we have this dramatic slowing in Europe where GDP growth at best will be about 1.5% this year. And they just finished their QE program and are still reinvesting, and they still have negative interest rates, which has decimated the profitability of the European banking system. And at the same time, because they've created such a massive bond bubble, well, what's going to happen to that bond bubble when they try to get out of negative interest rates because they want to save the banks who happen to own a lot of those inflated bonds? And then you shift to the Bank of Japan, which somehow believed that buying stocks was somehow going to raise the inflation level, let alone own 40% of the JGB market, is now realizing, well, maybe that 2% inflation target is, we should take that off the table. Well, I wish they would have thought of that 3 years ago when trillions of assets less than where they are now, and their economy is going to go into the next slowdown. And the Bank of Japan is going to be completely impotent in dealing with it. So that's going to mark really the difference between previous recessions and economic downturns from the next one because of the lack of any ability for central banks to address it. So here we have all this debt that this easy money that has created over the last 10 years. So I don't even know how they're going to be able to respond, both logistically in terms of their tools and the flow through of, okay, they're going to try to make money even cheaper in an over-indebted world. Well, there's obviously going to be no take of that. You can lead a horse to water, but they're not necessarily going to drink water. You can cut rates to zero or negative, but that doesn't mean people are going to borrow. So that's what concerns me about the next downturn, and that we're not going to get this painful but V bottom that we've seen in the past. This is going to be more of a drawn out, unfortunate affair.
Unfortunately, Peter, we are out of time for this first segment, but I am bringing you on next segment, and we are going to be focusing a bit more on markets and different sectors where you see some opportunity in 2019.
Al Corlin's firm, A.B. Corlin & Associates Incorporated, provides consulting services to public companies on matters of regulatory compliance. To find out more, follow the link from www.kereport.com. The Corlin Economics Report will be back after this brief timeout.